Today, I'll be talking about Jacob and Rachel. Background: God appeared to Jacob in a dream and encouraged him. And you would recall in the narrative in scripture that Jacob was going to Haran from Beersheba to run away from Esau, and at the same time to look for a wife there. And he was in a very deserted and very in the wilderness of the country. He fell asleep at night, and in the dream, God appeared to him and encouraged him, and that God told him that he would be chosen to be, and he will have many descendants, and he would be the leader of the chosen line of descendants. So God was, so Jacob was encouraged, and he pressed on in his journey. And he arrived at Haran, where his relatives were. And Jacob arrived in Haran and met Rachel and Laban. And I would like to read this part of scripture in which he met Rachel and Laban. Genesis 20, 10 to 15. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. This was when Jacob reached Haran, and in the pasture land where there was a well, this Rachel, the daughter of Laban, was met him there, and he helped with the watering of Laban's flock of sheep. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Naturally, Jacob would have been quite emotional because he has gone through a very long journey, very tired, very exhausted. There was the heat of the day. And finally, he saw a relative of his, Rachel, the daughter of Laban. So he wept and cried out to Rachel. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father, the father's brother as in relative. The father is Laban, and he was the Laban's sister's son. In that sense, a brother. And so she ran when she was told that this was a relative, and she ran to tell her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him. Of course, Laban, when he heard the news, must have been at his home. When Rachel ran home to tell the father, and then Laban embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house, and he told Laban all these things. So very emotional, a meeting between the uncle and the nephew. Really, to in this day, Jacob would have been the nephew to Laban. And Laban said to him, "Surely thou art my bone and my flesh." And he abode with him the space of a month. So Laban took him into his house, and Jacob stayed with him in Laban's house for a month. Laban said unto Jacob, "Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" So in that 1 month, Jacob must have worked for Laban, tending to his flock. And then Laban said to his nephew, "You are my brother, you know. Why should you work for me for nothing, even though you are a relative? Tell me what is your wages, and I'll pay you wages for looking after my sheep and my livestock." So this was the position between Jacob and his newfound relative. So let us move on in this. Jacob was tricked into marrying both Leah and Rachel. So how did this come about? Let us read on in our scripture. Starting at verse 28, chapter 29 of Genesis, chapter 8, verse 18. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. So Jacob was in love with Rachel, and he told Laban that he would work for Laban for 7 years to marry Rachel. Rachel was the younger of the two daughters. And Laban said, it is better I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. So Laban agreed because he felt that it is much better for him to marry his daughter to someone he knows, a relative, than someone outside. He would trust a relative more than a person who is outside the family. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had to her. Yeah, so he worked 7 years for the sake of marrying Rachel. And the time was fleeting because he was totally in love with her. So it is like what we were when we were courting our wives before marriage. Yeah, time is just too short. We don't have enough time with our girlfriends. Even though we spend the whole day with our girlfriend, parting is not good, and we can't find time again to be with our girlfriend. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. So after 7 years, Jacob requested Laban for the daughter's hand in marriage. Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. So Laban agreed to the marriage. So there was a wedding and a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. So at night, Laban took his elder daughter Leah, brought her to the wedding room, bridal chamber, and it was dark. Jacob couldn't see much in the darkness, and there Leah became the wife of Jacob. It was consummated. Marriage was consummated that night, without Jacob realizing that it was Leah. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? So he straight away went to accuse Laban of trickery. Why did you trick me into marrying Leah? Have I not served 7 years for Rachel? Laban said, it must not be so. And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. So then Laban gave the reason that in the custom of the country is that the elder must be married first before the younger. So that's the reason why he gave Leah to Jacob as the wife. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. So Laban told Jacob, go through the customary 1 week with Leah. The wedding is carried over over 1 week, and fulfill all righteousness of the marriage, and he will also give Rachel to Jacob if Jacob serves him another 7 years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. So Jacob did as what he was told, fulfilled that 1 week of marriage custom to Leah, and Laban also carried out his side of the promise, and he gave Rachel to Jacob as his wife also. Laban gave Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. So Laban gave Bilhah to Rachel as her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served him yet 7 other years. So the last part is very telling here. There is favoritism among the two wives Jacob had. He favored Rachel more than Leah, loved Rachel more than Leah. So that's very tragic, because Leah will feel very unloved and victimized by the husband. Okay, so let's watch a video. Then I would like to caution viewers of inaccurate parts of the video, the conversation that comes out between Jacob and Laban will be those made by the movie makers, and they are not accurate. They are not from the Bible. But the story is there. You will watch how Jacob accused Laban of trickery, and how Laban responded to Jacob with an excuse that he had to marry the elder daughter first before the second, and how Laban managed to get 7 more years of labor from Jacob. So you will see how Laban is very shrewd, very cunning, and he managed to get more free labor, so to speak, from Jacob. Altogether, 14 years of labor to marry the two daughters. 7 years for Leah, another 7 years for Rachel. So 14 years of free labor to Laban, just to marry the two daughters to Jacob. Let us watch the video.
Laban!
No, 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 don't do anything.
You deceived me.
No.
Give me a reason
not to kill you.
I can explain. Help me. Help me.
Would your God want my blood on your hands? Out, out. Everybody out. Out.
Give me a reason not to kill you.
I can explain. Help me. Stop it.
I've not deceived you. Rachel is yours. You shall have Rachel, I swear it.
And you ignored the pain you caused and settled on deception.
No, no, no. Well, not exactly. We all have to deceive a little. Leah is now yours. And once this week of celebration is over, I shall give you Rachel as a bride as well.
I only wanted one wife, you fool!
But two wives speak well of a man. Two dowries. They show the world how rich he is.
What dowries? You've kept me penniless for 7 years!
That's not a problem. You live here with my daughters and work another 7 years for your second bride, Rachel. Huh? You get the goods and advances, so to speak. It seems hard, but it is the only way the gods have left you. There is no other way.
So you are the clip that showed how Jacob was sick into marrying Leah, and he came out accusing Laban, and Laban then extracted another 7 years of labor from Jacob to marry the second daughter to him. So what is the comment we have for this so-called transaction? First of all, you will notice that this is actually what is Jacob's just desert. At the very hit, at the very start, he tricked Esau for the rights of the firstborn. When Esau was hungry, and Jacob said, swear that you'll give me all your rights of the firstborn, and then you can have my porridge. That was very sharp and very cruel to rob Esau of his rights of his firstborn just by a bowl of porridge. Then Jacob tricked Isaac into blessing him by pretending to be Esau and knowing that Isaac was almost blind. And then through deception, Jacob robbed Esau of his blessing from Isaac. So Esau really lost a lot. He lost his rights of the firstborn. He lost all his blessing from Isaac. And he only managed to get the second blessing. So you see Jacob as a very shrewd, very cunning, dishonest person. And then when now Jacob comes to Laban, Jacob now has this just punishment. He was tricked by Laban into marrying both daughters, whereas he actually wanted to marry the younger one. And now also tricked into working 14 years for both daughters. So in a way, we see justice being carried out by God for what he has done to his brother Esau and to his father Isaac. So in verse 28:4 of Psalm 28:4. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. So this psalm talks about those who are wicked, God will render them their just desert, what they deserve as punishment. So this is what we see in Jacob. And so what is the spiritual lesson to us? Justice was served on Jacob. Sometimes, due to our wrongdoings, God visits us with just deserts. That is the punishment that one deserves. So remember always that if you are harsh, if you are cruel, if you take advantage of other people, God may also visit us with punishment for what we have done to others, for the harm that we have rendered to others. So, but what about if other people take advantage of us? Should we not take revenge? The answer is no. We must also not take revenge. God will deal justly with those who take advantage of us. In Romans 12:19, God's word says, do not take revenge. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Vengeance belongs to God. God will repay those who have taken advantage of his children. And so for his children, we must not take revenge. So it is, many years in my, I have many years of working life. I have some experience on this. In the past, I was not well treated, or rather treated very badly in some companies in the past, taken advantage of, and I was pushed out of the company. And so I went. And shortly after that, the company went into a lot of trouble. So if I look back, I was very surprised that, yes, was God's way of fulfilling justice. That those who are harsh, those who are unfair, they will deserve their just deserts from God. They will get into any difficulties after what they have done to other people. And in the same way, when I left, I did not sought revenge. I did not sought to destroy company property or to remove company property for myself. And God dealt justly with them. God punished them for those who have done unjustly to me. And it was not just one company, a couple of other companies later, the same thing happened. And so I want to share my experience with you. Do not take advantage or harm other people, because God does visit those who take advantage with just deserts. Punishment for what one deserves. God will take revenge on behalf of those people who have been victimized. So remember this. just as you remember the story in Jacob. Jacob deserved his just deserts for what he has done to Esau and Isaac. Let us move on. Then we come to the part on contest for Jacob's love, because now Jacob has two wives, and we read earlier on that Jacob loves Rachel, not Leah, and that caused a rift between the two sisters, the two wives. So let me read from Genesis 29:31 onwards. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So the Lord was, fair. He saw that there was discrimination between Leah and Rachel. Jacob loves Rachel, but not Leah. So the Lord blessed Leah and she became pregnant. Yeah, but Rachel remained barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. So even Leah knows that Jacob favored Rachel and not her, which must have been very clear to everybody. And now that she has given birth to Reuben, said God has had pity on her. God was fair to her. Now, because she has a son, Jacob will surely love her. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called him his name Simeon. So again, she bore a second son, and she named him Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. So altogether, Leah bore Jacob four sons at one go, so-called one after another, yeah? And before she stopped giving birth. We move on. Genesis 30, verse 1. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. So naturally, four sons for Leah, none for Rachel. Rachel was very jealous. And she went to Jacob and accused Jacob and was angry with Jacob and told Jacob, you better give me children or I'll die. Well, what can Jacob do, right? And Jacob became angry too. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead? Who have withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? So Jacob said, am I God? Is God who withheld you from giving birth? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. So Rachel gave Jacob her maid Bilhah and said, sleep with Bilhah so that she can give birth and her child will be taken to be Rachel's child. Now, this sounds very familiar. Exactly what happened in Sarah and Hagar's case, in the case of the barren Sarah at that point in time. Yeah. And she gave Bilhah her handmaid wife. Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. So Bilhah bore Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God have judged me and have also heard my voice, have given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. So two sons for Rachel, four for Leah. And Leah stopped giving birth, and Rachel seemed very proud that she has won the battle with her sister Leah, now that she has two sons. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah and gave her Jacob to wife. So Leah is not going to be outdone by Rachel. She gave Zilpah, the maid, to Jacob so that Zilpah can bear children. Those children will be thought of as Leah's children. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, "A troop cometh," and she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field. Reuben was the son of Leah. And he went to the field and found mandrakes, a fruit in the field, and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." Rachel saw Reuben's mandrakes and asked Leah, "Give it to her, give it to Rachel." And she said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest not thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes." So, shameful thing here. Huh? Rachel, Leah said in reply to Rachel, "You have taken my husband. You also want to take my son's mandrakes?" And Rachel said, "Okay, you can have Jacob for tonight in exchange for the mandrakes." Well, this sounds like husband is being traded like a commodity. In exchange for Jacob, for tonight, give me your mandrakes. This is what it amounted to. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. So there you are. Huh? Jacob was traded for mandrakes. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. So Leah conceived and bore Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, "God have given me my hire, because I have given my maid to my husband," and she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, "God have endued me with good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. So finally, Jacob had a daughter through Leah. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. So God also allowed Rachel to give birth. And she conceived and bare a son and said, "God have taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph and said, The Lord shall add to me another son." And it came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, "Send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my country." So there you are. The contest between the two sisters to give birth to sons for Jacob. So we will watch another video. And here we see how Rachel was very envious that Leah has given birth, and he went to quarrel with Jacob for a son. This shows the heat of the contest between the two sisters. I will now go on to the video.
It's praise. And that is what we must offer God. Praise for his bounty.
For sons, my husband. Do you love me now?
You're never happier, Jacob, than when your wife gives you another son.
Leah is a gentle woman. It would be wrong to punish her for what your father did. You're also my wife. The children are a gift from God, a blessing for all of us.
I want to be like her, Jacob. Please give me children or I shall die of pain.
I'm not God. Children aren't mine to give.
But you were chosen by him. Why does he prefer Leah?
Tell me what to do. What can I do?
Lie with my slave girl. Please lie with her so she can give birth on my knees. Then I will have a child of my own. Please do this for me, Jacob.
Exactly as I predicted. While Jacob remains here, his God enriches us all.
I hope we all remember who kept Jacob here.
How could we forget, Father?
But his second 7 years are nearly up.
How are we going to keep him?
He has no reason to leave now. He has 7 sons by Leah. 2 from the slave girl Bilhah, another by Leah's slave girl Zilpah. And for good measure, Leah has given him a daughter, Dinah. Oh, you've come early to please an old man.
God has blessed me, Father.
What are you talking about?
Father, I am with child.
Rachel's blessing is a sure sign. When our child is born, we will take our leave.
Of course, I can't stop.
So you see the conflict between Leah and Rachel, and was quite bad that they have to bring in their maids to give birth to children. And on top of that, there's so much anger and strife between the two sides of the family, between the two sisters, and also with Jacob. So in the next slide, you see again the family tree, and I would like you to take a look at the bottom line that shows Jacob on the right, and he has 4 wives. Leah, the first wife, and then Bilhah, Zilpah, and Rachel. Bilhah was the servant, the handmaid of Leah, and Zilpah, Rachel. So you see here that Leah has 4 sons. Well, there are 4 sons at the start, and subsequently she had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sons, and finally ended up with Dinah, the daughter. And Bilhah had 2 sons. Zilpah had two sons, and Rachel had two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. So altogether, you see, there are 12 sons of Jacob, and each become the patriarch of the tribe. So there you have the 12 tribes of Israel. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 sons leading the 12 tribes. And then there's Dinah, the daughter. Of course, the other famous story, if you read on in Genesis, is Joseph, how he went on into Egypt and saved the Israelites from famine. So what can we comment about Jacob's four wives? There was jealousy from Rachel. You recall at the start of the video clip, that Rachel was very jealous when Leah gave birth to the fourth son. And then Jacob, in his conversation with Rachel, felt that she has been unfairly accused of not giving him Rachel's son, because the sons come from God, not from Jacob. Rachel was very jealous. Jacob was very angry for Rachel's jealousy, and also accusing him of not giving her son. So there was rivalry between Rachel and Leah to have children. And then when Rachel's handmaid started giving birth, Leah had the countermeasure by giving Zilpah to Jacob, Leah's own handmaid. And so it was a terrible time for Jacob. He had to contend with a lot of strife between two sides, Leah's side and Rachel's side. And of course, the shameful part of it was that Jacob was even traded for the night in exchange for mandrakes. So, terrible situation to be in. I think God allowed it for one reason, to tell us that we can't have more than one wife. So the spiritual lesson here is that having more than one wife will bring about conflicts and strife in the family. Not only have we seen or read about Jacob's four wives, you also recall Sarah and Hagar in the family of Abraham. How Sarah, Hagar start to despise Sarah for not being able to give birth. And Sarah had to ask Abraham to send Hagar and Ishmael away. What a tragic and what a sad time for Abraham, having to send his own son away into the wilderness. Terrible situation to have more than one life partner. Of course, coming back to our current day, there are many cases of broken family due to marital infidelity, even among believers. So in our family today, what we see are adultery, mistresses, girlfriends after you are already married. And these sort of so-called more than one partner also cause a lot of conflict and strife in the family. More so because where children are involved, children will find themselves to be very insecure because they find the two parents fighting, quarreling, and then the father leaving. And then the children will feel very insecure. They'll be thinking, oh dear, do they still have a home? Are they still supported in school? Do they still have meals? Who will pay for all their expenses? You know, the father has left the family. I mean, sometimes the father will leave the house and maybe not even come back for a few days. And children will all be very upset, very afraid. What's going to happen to the parents? Let me also share with you what's in the Straits Times, published April 19, 2019, 3 years ago. Singaporeans are cheating with their colleagues. Counselors see more extramarital affairs. So he has reported he started exercising and giving himself a makeover. So a man becomes more fashionable, more aware of his looks. His sudden transformation raised suspicion with his wife, who later found out he was having an affair. Private investigator revealed that he was indeed cheating on her. The couple, as well as a third party, were in their 30s and early 40s. Counselors and lawyers the Straits Times spoke to said infidelity cases here tend to involve couples in their 30s and 40s. The median ages for male divorcees in Singapore was 43.2 in 2017 and 39.1 for females. They usually have older school-going children and elderly parents. So this is the problem here. And not only husband and wife are in conflict, quarreling, you have school-going children. And school-going children will be under a lot of strife, a lot of pressure, a lot of emotional fear. How are they going to be supported? Whether they're going to be supported by their parents if they divorce. Yeah. And where will they end up? In custody? With the mother or with the father? And what is like, what is it like to live with the third party if they happen to go with the father? Or even if the mother, in this day and age, we also have the wife who commits adultery. So if the children stay with the wife and with the stepfather, so to speak, how will they get along with the stepfather? So a lot of issues, and children tend to take it very badly, yeah, and they may leave scars in their adult life. Let me move on. Then tips to avoid infidelity. Husband and wife are bound to have differences and quarrels. But despite the differences, husband are to love their wives. And it is quite clearly written for us in Ephesians 5:25, and I'll refer you to it. Ephesians 5:25. Now, as the church submits to Christ, 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So if you have a difficult wife, remember this verse. It is in scripture. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. It was never easy for Christ to love the church. The church has many problems. You read of Corinthian church, you read of so many other churches with problems. Because the church is where sinners are. And yet, Christ gave his life for the sinners in the church. And husband, you must do likewise as Christ. You love your wife as much as you would give your life for your wife. Just as Christ gave his life for the church. That is the extent of a husband's love required in scripture. So never say, oh, wife is very difficult. I can't live with her anymore. The extent of a husband's love as required under scripture is to give his life for the wife. You dare say that your wife is too difficult to live with? So ponder upon it. And issue does not just stop there. If you really put aside your self-preferences and love your wife irrespective, regardless of the temperament and the difficulty you have with your wife, God will bless you. That is for sure. And your life will be blessed by God. Secondly, do not look at the woman, not your wife, more than cursorily. Do not look at the woman who is not your wife more than cursorily. Why do I say this? Because of the experience in David's case. 2 Samuel 11:2. Let me read to you 2 Samuel 11:2. And it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So what David did was, he was on the roof of his house, and he saw Bathsheba bathing at the ground level. Of course, she was not wearing clothes because she was bathing, and she was very beautiful to look upon. David looked and looked. And that was the start of his trouble. So my tips here is, do not look more than cursorily. Naturally, you know, your eyes will fall upon many things. But if it falls upon it and you continue to look attracted, and the lust comes out of you, trouble starts. So when you look, and you, something that attracts your eye in a troubling way, look upon it cursorily and then move and look away. Cursorily means quickly. That is my advice or my suggestion to you because of what happened in 2 Samuel 11:2. David looked and looked. Remember how God dealt with people who committed infidelity. Okay. If you're sort of attracted to a third party, remember, Abraham was grief-stricken to send Hagar and Ishmael away. These were all the subsequent difficulties people experienced after they went into a relationship with another party. Abraham had Hagar, and he had to send Hagar and Ishmael away. Of course, Abraham was grief-stricken. Jacob had to contend with much strife from four women. If only he stick with just one, even if it's the wrong one, if it's Leah, what's done is done. Live with Leah. Forget about Rachel. Just live with one. What's not to be. David's four sons had to die because of the sin of adultery and murder. David looked and looked and committed adultery with Bathsheba and murder his Bathsheba's husband subsequently. God punished David with the death of David's four sons. So we see a lot of terrible events coming out of having more than one woman in your life. So please remember this because there will be a lot of marital strife if you commit adultery and have more than one woman in your life. So occupy our minds with whatever things are true, whatever things that are noble, whatever things that are just, whatever things that are pure and lovely, whatever things that are good report. Meditate on these things. The mind, it always starts with the mind. When you take on marital infidelity, the mind starts to wander in places that it shouldn't go. And in Philippians 4:8, God's prescription to us is that occupy your mind with things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Don't let your mind wander into places that it is not supposed to go to. Ponder upon the looks of a woman. Be attracted to a third party. Those are things that believers we should not go into. And I pray, Lord, I pray that God will keep us all true, noble, just, pure, and think of what is lovely and a good report. So I pray now. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise thee and thank thee for this story of Jacob and his four wives. How thou hast showed us that there is much conflict and strife if we have more than one woman in our life, or one or even for that matter as a wife, also not more than one man. So we pray, you know, that we will continue to walk straight and narrow according to thy word, according to thy law. And we look at all the experience of Abraham, Jacob, and David, and even many others in the Bible. And they have encountered many trouble. So let us remember, Lord, that thy laws are for us to keep so that thou will bless us. And if we deviate from thy law, thou will visit us with chastisements and punishments, that we will come back to the straight and narrow and do that which is pleasing to thee. So, Lord, I pray that we have learned much from your wisdom, and that we will apply thy wisdom to our lives. That's all this in Christ's precious name.